Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Sunday night edition of Into the Night with me, Sean Kelly. How is everybody doing today? Let me just pull this down just a tad so everybody can see who I am. Listen, I'm going to first of all thank UPRN Talk Radio 105.3 New Orleans and 107.7 Mississippi for allowing me to spend my hour on Sunday night and Tuesday night. And I also want to thank Carnation for sponsoring my show. It's been great. Kind of crazy. My manager, they let him go. So I'm starting off with a new one at work. So we'll see how that goes. Remember April 6th, okay? We are having a open investigation at the Dudas Farms. Hey, Cindy Simpson, good to see you. So we're having that open investigation April 6th. And it's for paranormal groups and it's for anybody, you know, who wants to come down who doesn't belong to a group, you know. So the Dudas Farm is, from what I understand, is totally haunted. And I do believe it's going to be a good time. It's going to give a lot of, some paranormal unity. And with the people who are going by themselves and who have never been on an investigation, this is your opportunity to pick the other paranormal groups' minds on how they run their investigation, how they do their investigation. And most of the paranormal groups that will probably be there will be very, very helpful, very they will communicate to you the best they can, and maybe they might take you out. Looks like I'm turning into a ghost here, Cindy Simpson. I don't know what's going on with my green screen. But so I don't know. Tonight, you know, just going to lay back and relax a little bit and talk about some of my favorite investigations that I did in all the years that I have investigated the paranormal. And some are real interesting, you know. Some were just downright crazy, extremely crazy. And but we had a lot of fun. And don't get me wrong, there are investigations that nothing happens. But I won't share those ones with you. I'll just share the ones that I know that are totally legit and a lot of fun we had. If anybody else out there has a question that they want to ask, feel free to do so. People who are watching in the chat room, if you want to pop on, say hello. Do, you know, Daniel McIntyre, you can always talk about my house and what we experienced. Thanks, Danny. Yeah, everybody in the world, this is Daniel McIntyre, my good brother, and we did investigate his house, and that was a crazy, crazy, crazy situation. And it's amazing how people get a hold of you or of me in order to go do their house for an investigation. Here, send it by email or give me a call. It really was. Yes, it was, Dan. Very much so. Vincent Rita, I hope he's in here. That'd be cool. But Vincent, yeah, he did contact me, and we came over. And I remember when we went over, did the investigation at Vincent's dad's place, you know. And that was crazy. That was really, really crazy. But, okay, great. Thanks, Danny. Appreciate it. But we went over to Danny's house, and I just remember when I walked, okay, I walked in, and this big old boy comes out of the house, and he's just like doing wrestling moves, you know. He's telling me he wants to, you know, do what off the back slope, off the balcony. He wanted to beat this ghost but hey, Tommy Miller says, hi Sean, are there certain times of the day, night, that seem to be better when you are doing paranormal investigations? Thanks for the question, brother. You know what? The best time for an investigation, dude, in my opinion, is 10 p.m. Between the hours of 10 p.m. and 1 p.m. Furious wasn't the word, dude. You were like a holy terror there for a minute. I was like, oh God, should I come in or not? But you know what? I'm glad I did, because we took care of it. But back to you, Tommy. Between 10 p.m. and 1 p.m. Okay. And the reason being for me is when, like at 10 o'clock, everything just seems to settle down a lot. All right. It's peaceful. Not too much going on out in the outside world. It's just peace and quiet. And so that's when you can really start focusing on, you know, the spirits or whatever house that you are haunting. I'm a firm believer that if I'm going to your house to investigate, right, I want the people who live there to tag along and be there with us in the investigation. And there's a big reason why, because I wasn't like other groups where I said, well, you got to go spend the night at a hotel and give us free rein to your house. And that's, I don't play that game. No. Plus, a lot of the stuff that happens, during the investigation, I want them to experience what is happening and trying to find the answers that we can get for them. So 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock is about the best for the investigating. I mean, you know, ghosts do like haunt 24/7, right? There's not so much of a specific time, but between 10 and 1, 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. Because if you think about it, right? So you go into a house, right? And all these spirits see you. Okay, they see you and they know what you're doing, right? And then after a while, they get bored with you and they decide to go away. So to stay and do an all-nighter investigation is craziness. Tell us, okay, Danny. Danny says, tell us the difference between a ghost and a demonic force, the way you told me. Great explanation. Oh, thanks, pal. You know, I need to talk about that and think about, because I'm 61 years old, going on 62 this year, and dude, my brain isn't there. But if you remember, just put it into the chat room and I can read it to the people. You know, that would be pretty cool. We can do it that way if you don't mind. But I don't believe in staying till 6 o'clock in the morning to do an investigation, because the spirits are like just tired of looking at you. And that's the truth, you know. Some houses that we went to, you know, the spirits were intelligent. They knew what was going on, you know. And after a while, they're just like looking at you like, either A, get out of our house, or B, you know, we're going to ignore you. And that, and all the investigations that I have done, I have never stayed past 1 o'clock. All right, Danny, a ghost has told unfinished business and they aren't normally there to hurt you. True. A demonic force is out to get your ass. And that's the truth, you know. And I'm glad you brought that up. Sometimes a ghost wants to be left alone. That's what you told me. And it's true, they do. You know, they're stubborn, Danny, because this is my house. And, you know, I'm not going to tell you who I am. The hell with you. I'm just going to sit here and watch you make assholes out of yourself is what it is. Thank you for explaining. Thank you for saying that, brother. I appreciate that. But yeah. So when it comes to the movies, okay, when it comes to the movies, you know, and TV and the media, everything is a demonic entity. And all my years of investigating, okay, I might have ran into about four or five actual demons, you know. And like I told Danny, he showed me, he just wrote it. It's like, you know, the demonic force out there is going to get your ass. And it's true, you know. I mean, and 99% of the time when people think that, like, missing their keys or stuff is being pushed out of their cupboards or everything's making loud noises and such, it really isn't demonic. It isn't, okay? It's just, that's terrifying. Yeah, it is. But it's not demonic. And like Danny said, you know, if it's going to come, it's going to come and get you. It's going to hurt you before we even get there. You know? So I blame the media. I blame the TVs. And I blame Hollywood for making everything such a demonic entity. So we went in. Okay, hold on, let me go up. Daniel, remember the deer lights you guys had? And I went into the room and pissed off the spirit even more. Yeah. Then you told me to leave the room. Yes. In fact, didn't we have to send you next door to your neighbors? I think so. Oh man, Danny, God bless him, man. This guy's like 6'10, 6'8, 6'10, and I mean he's huge. He also has a painting company here in Pittsburgh. It's called McIntyre Painting, you know, and look him up if you're in Pittsburgh. You need somebody to paint your room, paint your house, or paint, you know, rooms in your house. Danny's a good dude. I trust him with my life, and his wife I trust a lot too. I mean, that's one nice thing about doing all the investigations that I did. You're welcome, brother. Is that the people that I meet, okay, you know, it starts off with an email, okay, it starts off with an email, and then once, because I got to do some, like, repetition things, I would call, thank you, Lacey, as you can tell, I'm starting to blush, thank you. Good people right there, Lacey and Daniel McIntyre. They are the best. But, oh, yeah. So, they send me an email. I contact them, and we talk, and, you know, and back and forth, and they explain what's happening in my house. And the reason why I ask them to say, ask them, like, what's going on, I ask them that because if it's just something real simple, you know, like a parent or grandparents are trying to get their attention, you know, it's not, it all depends on how many people I would bring to the investigation is what I would do. Okay. And we became friends, me and the clients. Okay. We're friends. And then I have some acquaintances. I mean, it isn't all hunky dory, you know. But what surprised me the most, okay, is that most of my clients that we investigated at their house, they wanted the spirit to stay there. They were okay with it. They were just wanting answers. Okay, and so that's not a problem. Daniel McIntyre, there was a team at my house. We needed an army with, dude, oh my God, we needed more than an army. We needed like the Marines, the Army, Navy, and Air Force all at one time, man. tell you what, you scared the daylights out of me, brother, because I'm pretty big boy, but you know, not that night. That was a crazy night. That was a good night though. But so a lot of my clients that I have became acquaintances, or we became friends, which is cool, you know. Which gets me to the one investigation I'd like to talk about. Okay. I received an email. Yes, it was a crazy night, brother. I got an email from a lady that lives over on the north side of Pittsburgh. Okay. And she lived in one of them coal mining homes that were there, were steel mine, you know, one of the old houses back then. And I got an email saying that, can you please come to our house? My daughter is talking to somebody who's not there. And I'm like, and then I didn't even think about it. I just like, I said, all right, let's go. So we set up and we got the people together. So we went over there, and here's the story. Here's the backstory to it. Okay. So the little girl was like 4 years old. Good evening, Beth. Good to see you. Thank you for stopping in, buddy. Appreciate it very much. So the backstory to the thing was, the lady was telling us that her daughter, who's about 4 years old, was playing in her room. Okay. And her mom was downstairs. And, you know, being a mom, a young mom with a four-year-old daughter and not hearing what's going on, yeah, you'll definitely get nervous. So she walks up the steps, opens up the door, and her daughter turned around, looked at her right in the face, and said, "Hi, Mom, I want you to meet my friend Johnny." And Johnny wasn't there. And that's when she freaked out. Okay. And so we investigated the place. And come to find out, now, some of you might think I'm crazy, some of you might not think I'm not, but this is true, okay? And this is definitely true, that when you have intelligent ghosts in there, all right, they know what they're doing. They know, you know, and they know how to manipulate things. The story behind this house was, even in, you know how people are very controlling, or very, very mean, and they're controlling people when they're alive. Okay. Well, they're like that in the spirit world. Okay. Thank you very much, Beth. Appreciate it. Have a good night. Thank you for at least stopping in. I appreciate that. But a lot, you know, so, hey, Tara, good to see you, hon. Yeah, here's my girl, Tara Bracken. Good to see you. So they're there. And there was a ghost in this house who was mean. He was a mean ghost. And here there was like three or four lady ghosts plus Johnny, the little boy. And this mean ghost kind of controlled the four other ladies and Johnny. I mean, it's real hard to explain. It's so hard to understand. But you can control people when you're alive, but you're saying to yourself, okay, how can a ghost control other ghosts? And it happened. So what we did was we set the equipment up, found out about the dude, okay? And come to find out that the four ladies kind of sent Johnny to the little girl so her mom could get in contact with us to come over and help them out. And that's what we did. Okay. That was one of the houses that I had to go over twice, because it was like really, really not a really good ghost. He was kind of hardcore. But eventually I got rid of him, you know, and I'm not going to tell you how I do it. but it happened. It really happened. And I received an email from them maybe about 3 or 4 years ago. And the lady said, you know, I want to thank you very much for what you did for my family when we were on the North Star. It really, really helped us out. Now, they moved out east somewhere. I don't know where. But to get an email 9, 10 years later, and they still think about how we helped them. You know, and it's just not me. It was my group, PPS, Pittsburgh Paranormal Society. You know, I don't want to take all the glory for it, but I had team members, and that's what we did. But that was like one of my favorite investigations, because we actually got to help the family out, and we took care of the bad spirit. And after that, the lady told me that they lived in peace. Everything was peaceful then. You know, so it's really a good feeling to know that you can help them out, help somebody out, and they're still thinking about it. Now, the second story I want to talk about was my very first investigation. We went to a cemetery here in Monroeville, PA, called Rest Lamb Cemetery. This was the very first investigation. And how I started PPS, I went on a group called, I forget what it was called, but I just said, anybody interested in ghost hunting, you know, give me a call. And, you know, we did, you know. And we went to Restland. And the backstory behind Restland Cemetery, that there was there's like 3 or 4 kids who took a headstone from a spirit, and they threw it over the hill. True story. And so at the time, everyone would call her Walking Rosie, because that was the spirit of that the kids, you know, took the headstone and threw it over the hill. And my God, what a treat. It was awesome. You know, first investigation. I mean, at the time, all we had was digital cameras, no K2 meters, no video cameras, nothing what you see on TV. We had none of that. But we went out in the cemetery looking for Rosie. And a lot of people saw her. I mean, you could tell. I mean, she didn't just come up right into your face. No. You would see her out, because it's like really flat and hilly, but you could see her. We tried to debunk. Every time someone saw her, we would go and try to debunk it. And there was no way you could debunk it. And we have no doubt in our mind that it was Rosie. Absolutely. And we were there for maybe about 2 or 3 hours. And I remember the very first orb I caught, right? Now, I don't know who don't. And here in Pittsburgh, we have restaurants called Eaton Park. Okay, it's a chain, right? And they come, they make smiley cookies. Okay, and all this is a sugar cookie with white icing, 2 eyes and a smile. Right. So I took a picture right when we got there, right? It was crazy. So we went back and we were looking at it. And I call it the pissed off smiley cookie, because it was an orange orb and he wasn't smiling. He was kind of like angry. No lie. And you know, I've taken thousands upon thousands of pictures and I can't find them. You know, that's my fault. But you know what? I want, because those were the great pictures. It was just a digital cameras back then and digital voice recorders. That's all we had. And it was fun. We make a rule that whenever we went to a cemetery, that we would not take a picture of the cemetery marker, the grave marker. It is against the law, first of all, and to take a picture of somebody's grave. I heard that was a law, but out of respect for that person laying in that grave, you know, and their families, we never did. We always took the picture behind it, behind the stone, you know, so we wouldn't catch any names or nothing like that. Just out of respect for people, you know. So that was my very first investigation, Wrestling Cemetery. And it was fun. And another one, we were up in Moraine State Park. We went up there. And we went to a little cemetery called Snyder Cemetery. Now, you're not allowed to go there anymore. Only if you get special permission from the people who actually own the cemetery. And we went up there. Hey, Kason, good to see you. Don't worry. Sorry. I'm glad you're here. Glad you can make it. So we were up at Snyder Cemetery up in Moraine State Park. And I'm telling you, we got a lot of activity. And I mean, not so much on the videos or pictures or audio. Okay. We got a lot of personal experiences. Like we were touched. You could feel people playing, you know, somebody playing with your hair. No one got hurt, you know. No one got scratched, no one got kicked, no one got bit, okay? But we were up there, and it was crazy because it was a full moon that night. And I'll tell you what, on full moons, if you go to a cemetery and you're investigating, just get prepared. Because they do come out, you know. But I figured, you know, since I enjoy, you know, investigating cemeteries, I have a feeling, I did have a feeling, and I still do, that they kind of enjoyed us being there. And you're saying, well, how do you think that, Sean? I'll tell you how, okay? It's like, you know, you've been dead for over 100 years. And your family don't come visit you no more. And all you do, that's your home. That's all you know is your home, the cemetery. And so you're like hanging around your home, you know, around the tombstone, your headstone, whatever you want to call it. And all of a sudden, you see a bunch of people coming into the cemetery with flashlights. And all kinds of different, you know, all kinds of different things, you know, equipment. And you're thinking, oh my God, there's somebody, I need to go up and say hello. And being that 100-year spirit living in, you know, at his house, the summit, his grave site, they come up and they wanted to be acknowledged, to be surprised. And on that night, it happened up at the cemetery up in Plum Borough. I forget what it is. You can't go in there no more. Because if you do go in, then the police will arrest you and they will write you a ticket or take you to jail. And I blame kids or people who, not kids, I'm sorry, anybody that went out there. Because a lot of people did drugs and did dope at these cemeteries and... You know, they did a lot of damage to the headstones. And so that's why you would get arrested. Okay. But we were at the cemetery. And you know what? There was a girl in my group, Doreen. And, oh, my God, she had her K2 meter going. And it just went off. It was just going off. And then she busted out her EVP her digital voice recorder and got a lot. I mean, she had a conversation with a ghost. Seriously, she did. It was like so cool, you know, how she did that. And we found out the ghost name, you know. And I mean, it was just like talking to a human being. Now, a lot of people, when they heard that, said, ah, that's, you're full of crap. That's not true. And I said, well, how do you get the voice? Oh, it was somebody else there talking. I said, no, there wasn't. That was the spirit talking to her. And they're like, oh, you're full shit. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? Were you there when we were doing this? And they say, no. I said, then how can you judge me? How can you judge me? How can you tell me that that's no evidence when you weren't there? And I said, just keep quiet and move on. You know, do what you got to do. Kaysen says, where we can find your investigations? Are they on the internet? No, Kaysen, they're not. But I will tell you this April 6th coming up, you know, to do this farms, I am going to do a little bit of live, you know. Foxy Joe, how are you? Good to see you. And we're going to do, you know, a little bit of live, you know, maybe, you know, do a little interview with the other paranormal groups or whoever's there, whoever wants to talk. So stay tuned, Kaysen. Don't worry, we'll get you some. We'll get you there. But so that's basically, you know, some of the investigations that I have done. And I have a couple more to tell you before, you know, the show ends. But right now, we have to go to a commercial break. A 70-second. No, we're going to make it a minute. No, a minute 40. Okay. We're going to make it a minute 40. And so you guys can go to the bathroom, stick around, get something to eat, do what you got to do. Okay. And then we'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to the second part of the Sunday night edition of Into the House with me, Sean Kelly. I hope everyone's enjoying themselves so far. I see that my chat room is like really going here, which is pretty cool. It's nice to see people contribute to the show. I want to thank Carnation again for sponsoring my show. I truly, truly appreciate it. I also want to thank Joe Monteldo, the owner of UPRN Talk Radio, 105.3 New Orleans, 107.7 Mississippi, for allowing me to share my stories with you, you know, because without them, without him especially, you wouldn't probably know who I was. April 6th, we are going to have an open investigation down at the Dudas Farms. I'm going to type that right now. Hold on, let me get down here in the comment. It's April 6th. April 6th, 2023. Dudas Farm. Brownsville, PA. So I just put it in the chat room, everybody, so you guys can actually see who, you know, where we're going to be. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to meeting people who, you know, are probably in my chat room or whoever wants to. I'm just excited because we'll see how this works. It would be like a little bit of paranormal unity, you know, or and just one big get together with a lot of paranormal people and going out and having a great time. Seriously, that's what it is. You know, do an investigation where you don't have to be serious. You can just go out and have fun and enjoy yourself. You know, I can understand where some paranormal groups think, you know, they got to be serious about their investigating. You know what? And that's okay because that's their group. That's what they do. It's okay. But you also got to realize, too, I did it at the very beginning, was that you also have to have fun. You got to have some fun when you investigate. Yes. Even though you're serious, and even though you're trying to help somebody out at their house, you have to be serious. You know, you got to have fun while being serious at the same time. So, but I just, forgot to say, this Tuesday night at 8:10 p.m., I'm going to have my friend Michael Anthony come back on the show and through some paranormal research and other people's research. I don't want to be a spoiler about it. I don't. So I'm just going to keep it going. I'm just going to keep it quiet. And Michael will talk about it. And it's pretty interesting. It will be an interesting show. So on March 5th at 8:10 p.m., it's Tuesday night, Michael Anthony will be on my show again. And please come in, tune in. You'll definitely want to hear it. Absolutely. In fact, after this show, I'm going to have to set up the other show for Tuesday night. But yeah, there's a couple more investigations, or I mean, there's a lot of them, but there's a couple of good ones that I would really like to tell you. And the very first one I'd like to tell you before we get into other stuff is, you know, a lot of people laugh at me because I like to go to Blue Mist Road. Okay. And Blue Mist Road is like one of the most haunted roads here in Western Pennsylvania. It really is, besides 13 Bends. But Blue Mist Road. And I remember the very first time that we went there, and it was, you know, early in investigations, and we were brand new to all of this. And so you walk down this road. This road's out in North Park, you know, over by the boat ramp. And it is like really freaking scary, okay? Because you got to walk this path for about 2 miles, right? And the further you get in, the darker it gets, okay? Now, they have all kinds of animals there. They got bobcats, they got coyotes, they got deer, you know. So imagine walking down this dark path with no lights, and you're hearing strange noises coming from you through the woods. Okay. It's creepy. I remember the first time, you know, my, because at the beginning, I was an egotistical bastard. I'll be the first one to tell you that. I was egotistical. I thought I was the best paranormal investigator out there. But you know what? That road humbled me tremendously. It just totally humbled me out. You know? And so we were walking down, and like I said, the further, hey, Sebastian, good to see you, buddy. Well, I haven't seen you in a while. Great show tonight, Sean. Thank you. You're welcome, bud. So you're walking down this road and it's pitch ass black, and all of a sudden your K2 goes off and you're like freaking out. Like, what the hell's going on? What the hell's going on? And I had people take pictures everywhere. Everywhere. And all of a sudden, I'm standing in the middle. It's at the crossroads. There's a crossroads down there. And all of a sudden, I'm standing at the crossroads, and all of a sudden, I just feel this massive, massive energy just swallow me up. Honest to God, it did. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? And I had a psychic at the time with the group, and the lady told me that it was a black person, a real big black guy. And she told me that he got hung there. And the more she talked about him, the more stronger the energy became, you know. And all of a sudden, we just started to pick up on all different types of energies, you know. Sad energies, a lot of sad energy going on around that day. And come to find out, all right, that as we walked a little bit further down the path, we found this old tree. And come to find out, that tree is called the Hanging Tree. And that's where they hung African Americans. Okay. Back then, before it became North Park, it was a farm. And on this farm, they had the KKK. And what they would do would go and find black people and you know, torment them and eventually hang them. True story. True. And then all, you know, and I felt really bad for these people. I really did, because I'm thinking, my God, why did you have to go through all that crap? And trust me, me being white, okay, and at that time I had no hairs because I like to have short hair, you know, and almost the baldy cut, you know, crew cut. And I got scared, you know, because I was white, and I'm thinking, these ghosts are going to hurt me. Now, I am telling you the truth when I tell you this. This is how I felt. But after, you know, conversing through the K2 meter and through my psychic medium that I had with me, we ended up as, we had a good conversation. It was a good conversation. Unfortunately, we could not get anything on the digital voice recorder. We could not. But I tell you what, like I told you at the beginning of the show, most of the things that you get when you investigate the paranormal I added the word on the tip of my tongue, personal. You get personal evidence, okay? And then that's what we got. And come to find out, all they wanted to do was tell their story. Yes. And they told their story. And from that time on, for some reason, you can ask anybody that knows me, okay, I'd like to go back there all the time. Now, when I go back there, I don't feel the ghost anymore. It's like they moved on. But there's other different types of energies there. Okay. But just walk down a path, a road, where it's light, and then all of a sudden, boom, it just gets completely dark. And you actually start seeing shadows crossing in front of you, you know. And so those were good times. Those were very, very interesting and good investigations for me. And then the last but not least, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. It's the top of my list. And in Gettysburg, it wasn't so much, we didn't really go on the battlefield for the investigations. We did not go to certain places around Gettysburg, you know, to investigate. We investigated the town after midnight. Because you have to realize, on the 1st of July, 1863, the battle started up at the seminary, and the battle went through the town of Gettysburg. And when you go out in the town of Gettysburg about, you know, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, there's no cars. There's no people walking the streets. And you just get this eerie feeling that somebody's walking beside you or behind you. Okay. We got a lot of good evidence, you know. We got a lot of good pictures, but a lot of personal experiences that we received. I remember we were over there by the Jenny Wade house, okay. And as God as my witness, okay, I was there with my friend Doreen, and we actually smelled pipe tobacco. It was so clear, and nobody around smoking a pipe. And then we stayed at the 1861 hotel room. We're up on the fifth floor. And if you look in the back, there is a pathway that walks along the fence of the 1861 hotel room. One night I was out there, as God is my witness, I saw Confederate soldiers, about 8 of them, just run up the path. One's like, damn, where's my camera? But I guess I wasn't supposed to have my camera, you know, because there are things that you see, there are things that you witness that is not supposed to be put on film, video, or audio. And then the last place that I go to all the time is in Gettysburg. It's called Saks Covered Bridge, and I am going to type that down here. Saks Covered Bridge. And July 4th, July 4th, after the war battle of Gettysburg, the Confederate Army went back into Virginia and they had to cross Saks Covered Bridge. Okay. Now, there's about 3 or 4 different types of backstories behind Saks. Okay. One that there was a woman and she had an accident. I don't know if it was a horse accident or a car wreck. I don't know. But the main one is the Confederate soldiers who you know, deserted from the army, were hung on that bridge. And that, my friends, is a very, very haunted covered bridge. After the show is done, Google it, Saks Cover Bridge, and read the story behind it. We've gotten so many interesting video and audio off that bridge. You know, and sure, you know, the bridges cross the water, and everyone says, well, that helps out with the spiritual thing, because the water is some kind of energy force for the spirits, which is true. But there are a couple soldiers out on that Saks Cover Bridge, the dudes from Tennessee. And every time I go up there, and I know he's there on that bridge, and he likes to show off for a lot of people. Like during the summertime, he just like goes crazy. He makes everybody's equipment go off, the K2s and all that stuff. It's, you know, it's fun to watch him do this stuff. But I always leave him one cigarette and one match. That's what I do. I leave him in. Who knows where that cigarette goes? Maybe he takes it, but he likes to smoke. He likes his whiskey. And so I got the cigarette and I got the match for him. So those, my friends, are my stories that I'd like to tell you. I got some good guests coming up, and I'm going to, you know, put out some more advertisement for it. But I really would like you to be here this Tuesday coming up, because I will have my friend Michael Anthony on here. And I'm telling you what, it's going to be a great show. It really is. But what I'm going to do for you tonight is definitely pull the cards. Okay? I'm going to pull the cards. But you know what? Today I'm just going to make it simple. I'm going to make it simple. I'm just going to pull one card for you. Make, you know, loosen it up. Make it. Hey, Carla, good to see you, honey. Everybody, the whole world. Carla, the whole world. My girl, you need prayers. She's a good prayer person. She's a warrior. I'm going to draw one card, and we're going to go from there. Okay. And what I drew was the buffalo. So after the show, Google the buffalo as an animal totem. And see what that buffalo means to you right now in your life, on your path that you are going through. Okay? But it's time to go. I want to thank everybody for listening and participating in the show. Children, if you can, please go to your parents and give them a hug. And tell them that you love them. And parents, please, go to your children, give them a hug, and tell them that you love them. And if you don't have no parents or children, find a friend, give them a hug, and tell them that you love them. Because those three words, I love you, go a long way. Good night, Sebastian. I want to share this. I was watching TikTok today before getting on the show, and for some reason, you know, there's no so. Thank you, Carla. Appreciate it. And you know, there's no such thing as coincidences. Everything happens for a reason. So I'm sitting on TikTok, and I started TikTok, opened it up, and this popped out. And I want to share it with you. I am who I am. Like me. Love me. Take me. Weave me. Know that I am a true friend to the end and ask nothing in return except two things. Don't hurt me or use me. Anonymous. Good night, Tommy. And everybody, on that note, good night. Have a good week. And I will see you Tuesday night with Michael Anthony. Bye-bye.